And what a wonderful message.
I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. As we continue our study in the book of Ephesians, we learn about the great riches of the mercy and grace of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, and I trust that this will be a blessing to you today. I know some of you ladies may be disappointed. I'm not just going to pick on the dads today. We're going to stick with our study in Ephesians. And God has a message for all those who come to Him by faith in Christ, who have tasted of the grace that He offers. We've seen that God has many great blessings for us, and in Jesus Christ is the head of everything in the church. He is the fullness of everything. And we want to learn about what He's done in our lives. So I want to invite you, if you would, please stand. And we'll read together here in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You above all things for Jesus. Lord, please open the eyes of our understanding today that we can see our condition without Christ. Lord, help us to see Your incredible and great love that You've had for us, the change that You've made in us, in our spirit, the changes You have in store for us in heaven. And Lord, help us to live like we've been given new life. And please, Lord, if there's anyone here who's unsaved, I pray that Your Holy Spirit convict them, that they would repent and believe the gospel today, that they would trust in Christ alone. And for those that are saved and unbaptized, that You would lead them and help them to identify with You publicly in baptism and church membership. And Father, just help us all to find our place as we serve You in the church. And may You get glory from what happens in this place. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to remind you this morning as we study the book of Ephesians that this is a church letter written to the church at Ephesus, and that God sent this letter there and it was distributed to the other churches in that area and throughout the ages. And this letter applies to those that are in the church today. So here in this local church, Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, what's written here applies to those that are in the church. Now you're in the church by being saved and baptized and being joined to or added with the number in the church. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head, and everyone that's in the church is to find their place in the church, to be the member that He's called you to be, to do the work that He's called us each to do. And so He's telling us, He says, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, I want you to get this. You are quickened, and the word quickened means made alive. You were dead, and now you are alive. And if you're in the church, you should be truly, genuinely born again, baptized to identify with Christ, and you belong to Him, and you were dead, now you are alive. Now, I want to caution you, because just because your name's on a church roll doesn't mean that you are alive. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean that you are alive. The only thing that makes you alive is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sin and unbelief, trust in Jesus Christ with all your heart, and you are saved. You have eternal life. But we're going to talk about our previous condition. We're going to talk about our conduct, and we're going to talk about the compassion of God today. Notice, first of all, our condition. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the focus really here is our past condition, who we were and how we were before we came to Christ. You were dead. Now, I talked to a man this past week and attempted to share the gospel with him, and he informed me that he's got a job that would give him opportunity to share the gospel all the time, but he said, you know, it's not really my place to force my religion on other people. And I thought, how sad that this man who claims to be a Christian would say something like that. And so I asked him, I said, well, what do you think happens to people who aren't following Christ? What happens to people who don't believe in Jesus? What do you think happens? He said, well, you know, it's not good. Listen to me. I want to make this as plain as I can. If you are not in Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You are separated from God forever. You will burn in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Friend, you got to understand, it's not just bad. It's not just a kind of a bad thing for somebody. They'll burn in hell forever because they're dead in their trespasses and sins. Unless any of us should be high and exalted and lifted up in our own eyes, remember you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We're not any better than anybody else. The only thing that's good about any of us is Christ in us. And I was dead in my trespasses and sins. It wasn't just, it was kind of a bad deal. No, I was dead. And you've got to understand that today, dear friend, that the condition that we were in was awful. And we've got to remember where we were. And God wants to remind us of where we were so that we can understand how grateful we ought to be for the change that has been made. And I'm so sad that too many people, and maybe some people even in this very room, look at the world and they go, you know, I know they're not really following Christ, but they're not that bad. Or they'll say, you know, he's a pretty good old boy, or she's a really nice lady. Listen to me, if they are not in Christ, they are dead. And I don't care how good a boy he is, if he's not in Christ, he is dead in trespasses. He is dead in sins. It's not a kind of an okay thing. It's an awful thing. You say, well, it's terribly judgmental for you to think that all those people, listen, God said it very plainly in his word. You're in Christ or you're dead. I wish Senator Bernie would ask me the questions. You mean to tell me that all those people believe all those other things, that they're not going to go to heaven? Yeah, that's exactly what I mean to tell you. Muhammad didn't die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. His bones are still turning to dust today. Buddha never did anything to save anybody. Buddha can't forgive a man's sin. And the light that the Hindus are trying to go into is no light at all. It's just darkness. I'm telling you today that Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, gave his life on Calvary's cross. I'm trying to tell you today that God died for the sins of the world. Now, how can you find fault with that? There's only one way, and Christ made that way, and it's because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. What are these trespasses? I want to read you a passage from Romans chapter 5. If you'd look at it with me, please. I want you to get this. Romans chapter 5, beginning of verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. These trespasses, they are offenses against God. Trespasses are this. God says, don't do this, don't cross this line, and we cross the line. It's the same word we're going to see in this passage, offenses. God says, don't do this, and we offend it. The law says, don't, and we do it. We have offended the law, and ultimately we have offended the righteous and holy God. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And I just want you to know, somebody's not going to hell because they're a Hindu or a Muslim or a whatever. They're going to hell because they're a sinner. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And so get this, as there's no law, you don't know that you've sinned. In other words, if the speed limit is 55 miles an hour, but there's no sign, you don't know that you're speeding, you don't know you're violating the law if you're doing 80. Now, you ought to know, but you don't know. But when the speed limit sign is there, the law is there, you know that you're violating the law. But guess what? Even if there's no sign, even if there's no law, you still die. Death reigned. From Adam to Moses, there was no law before Moses, but death reigned the whole time. People died. Why? Because they were sinners. They were born with a sin nature. Now, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. By the way, Adam is the first Adam. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, is the second Adam. Born without a sin nature. Born perfect. And Adam was born, created. Adam was created without a sin nature. He was created perfect. And he willfully rejected God's commandment. Verse 15, but not as the offense. This is our word trespass. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign by life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's what I want you to get. The offense of one, Adam, brought death and condemnation to all mankind. But Christ came, and by his obedience, Adam brought offense, Jesus brought obedience. All who come to him can be made alive. Adam trespassed against God. Adam offended God's law, and death and condemnation came. Jesus Christ came and obeyed. Jesus Christ came in obedience, and he brought life and justification to all who believe. Our trespasses, friends, I want you to know that we are an offense to God, that we are against God. And it's our trespasses where we've gone against him, and it's our sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Sin always brings death. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We were dead in our trespasses and our sins. Turn over a couple of pages there in Romans to Romans chapter 7 and verse 13. Romans 7:13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Listen, I'm just telling you that we are sinful creatures and sin is with us. And our sin brings death. And we were dead in our trespasses and we were dead in our sin. Death is a serious thing, is it not? We have all kinds of safety measures. We have all kinds of things in our society today to try to make things safe. This morning I saw an accident on the interstate. A SUV rolled over and burned up. No idea if the people got out by the time I got there. I don't know. But I'm just telling you that death, we take it very seriously because it's serious. But spiritual death, dear friends, is far more serious. And so many times we look out at the world today and we don't see it. We see just regular people going through their regular lives, and we need to open up our spiritual eyes and understand that we were once dead in our trespasses and sins, and everyone who is not in Christ is dead today. We've got to see it that way. Look at verse 2 in our text, Ephesians 2:2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now listen, the Lord is painting a picture here for us. He says, you have been quickened, you've been made alive, but you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And let me remind you who you used to be without Christ. You walked according to the course of this world. You were worldly in your walk, the way that you went through your life, your day-to-day choices. You walked according to the course of this world. You went the way the world was going. And then he says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? It's the devil. And you walked according to the way the devil wanted you to walk. And then he said, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, you didn't have a good spirit. You didn't have the Holy Spirit. You had a wicked spirit. You had a wicked attitude, and you went that way. And hear me today, dear friend, because people who say that they're saved, they are still going with the world. They're still following the devil. They're still got the same spirit of disobedience that the world has. And God says, this is who you used to be. We're supposed to be different if we're in Christ. We're supposed to be different if we're in the church. We're supposed to be different if we are quickened by Christ. And unfortunately today, there's very little difference between people who are in the church and people who are in the world. As a matter of fact, I see churches that are clamoring to be as much like the world as possible. And dear friend, the Lord said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. God did not call us to be saved so we could go on back into the world. He said, come out of the world. That's the way you used to go. That's the way you used to walk. That's the course you used to be on. But if you are saved, if you've been baptized, if you're in the church, you ought to be going a different direction. Get this picture in your mind. Jesus said, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And we got this huge crowd of people that are going this way to hell. And you say, I prayed a prayer, I got saved. And so that means the whole crowd's going this way, and here you are, your little self, turning around and going the other way. And some people, it's like they're swimming upstream against the crowd. You need to get this picture, though. Jesus didn't just leave you in that crowd and turn you around the other way. He pulled you out of that crowd and put you on a different path. It's the straight and narrow path.
It's not wide. He didn't leave you in the world to swim against the crowd. He didn't put you out there, leave you there to swim upstream. He pulled you out. He put you on a completely different path. And it goes the opposite direction. And if you find yourself over here walking with the course of the world, you better examine your heart. Because you're in the wrong place with the wrong people going the wrong direction. You see, God called us to be fishers of men. We're going this way. It's our job to pull as many people out of that crowd as we can as we keep following Christ. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. And we're to love the world and have compassion on the world. And the best way to love them is to be like Jesus and bring them to Jesus. The best way to help the world is not to be like the world. Some people think that they're going to hang out with their old buddies and do the old things and maybe knock back a few beers and do that kind of stuff and hang out with them and share Jesus with them. You're not going to win them to Christ by being like them. They've got plenty of people like them. And they're all destroying their lives together. What they need is Jesus Christ. They need you to be different. He said, wherein in time past, that's who you used to be. He goes on in verse 3 and says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. He talks about our walk and then he talks about our way of life. Our conversation is our life. Our conversation in time past and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He said, listen, you're following the world. You're following the devil. That's the way you were. And it was natural for you. It was in your nature to fulfill the desires and the lust of your mind and of your flesh. He takes us out of this world. And he gives us the world to come. We were following the prince of the power of the air, and now we follow the prince of life. We had a spirit of disobedience, which means unbelief, but now we have the Holy Spirit of God. We were living for the lust of the flesh, but now we have the love of Christ. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, but now we have a desire to fulfilling His will by being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Our nature was the nature of the children of wrath. But now we have a nature of righteousness. I'm telling you, friend, that's our past, and we have a bright future. We have a new life in Christ today, and we have the life that is to come in heaven. And he's trying to remind us today, that's who you used to be. That's who you were. But look at verse 4 in our text. But God. You see, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was on my way to hell. I was going along with the world. I was following the devil. I was fulfilling every desire of my flesh and of my mind. I did whatever I wanted to do, and I was marching steadily on to hell. Dead, separated from God. And that's where I would be. And that's where we would all be if it were not for this, but God. If we were left to ourselves, dear friends, we would all end up in hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. How much did He love us? He loved us so much, He sent His only Son. His only Son who came and left the glories of heaven and had not even a place to lay His head. His only Son who lived a sinless and perfect life. His only Son who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ suffered being out in the wilderness, and He suffered not having a place to live, and He suffered being poor. He suffered all the things of this earth. He suffered being tempted more than you could ever understand by the devil. He suffered when he was falsely accused and mocked. He suffered when they beat him with the rods. He suffered when they put the crown of thorns on his head. He suffered when they spit on his face. He suffered when they scourged him. He suffered when he was too weak to even carry his own cross. He suffered when he was bloody and beaten, and they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. He suffered when they hoisted up that naked, beaten, bloody body up into the air, and they railed on him, and they mocked him. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How much did he love us? He loved us to death. Even the death of the cross. Even when we were dead in sins, friend, I've talked to people who are angry at the Jews because they murdered Jesus. I've talked to people who are angry at the Romans because they nailed them to the cross. And you ought to understand today, you might as well just be angry with yourself. Because he didn't just die for their sins, he died for mine. Even when we were dead in sins, he died. We're not too dirty for him to clean. And we're not too dead for him to make us alive. Even when we were dead in sins, look at verse 5, the middle of the verse, he says, hath quickened us together with Christ. The third day Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he was alive in a glorified body, conquered death and hell in the grave, raised himself back from the dead, gave himself life again, and because of that, we are quickened together with Christ. He was made alive. And friends, that's exactly what he does for us. The Spirit quickens us. When you repent and trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. He makes you alive. I was dead, but when I was 14 years old and I prayed and I trusted Christ for the first time, I repented, I believed the best I knew how, I asked the Lord to be my Savior, and he made me alive that night. In an instant, I went from death to life. In an instant, I was transported from the Broadway leading to destruction. I was put on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. In a moment. And what did I do? What did I deserve? Nothing. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. And it gave me life. We are alive, quickened together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Dear friend, it's not by works. It's not by anything we do or ever could do. We are not ever going to earn our own way. It's only by his grace. It's his unmerited favor. It is his gift. And verse 6 says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice the tenses of this. He talks about who we used to be. And he doesn't talk about who we're going to be with Christ. Or he talks about where we are now. He doesn't say that one day he'll raise us up. He says we are raised up. He doesn't say one day he's going to make us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. He says we are sitting there. It's done. It's done. He said, what if I do this? What if I do that? What if this happens? There's no what ifs that can overcome the gospel of Jesus Christ. You repent and trust in Christ. You are saved. You are raised up. You are sitting in heaven with him. It's as good as done, dear friend. Now, hold on. I'm trying to be nice, but I want to say, what is wrong with you people? We're alive. If you're in Christ, you have life. If you're in Christ, you are sitting in heaven now. I mean, not literally physically, but it's done. Nothing can change it. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can change the fact that you have a place in heaven today if you've trusted in Christ. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You're raised up. You have life. You're sitting together with Christ in the heavenlies. It's done. That in the ages to come. So when this age is over, when this world is over, when God destroys this earth and these heavens with the fervent heat, melting even the elements, and he makes a new heaven and a new earth, in those ages to come, in the new heaven and new earth, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace because of his kindness toward us, because of Jesus Christ. And forever and ever and ever, if you know Christ, you will be a testament to the riches of the grace of God. The exceeding riches of his grace. 10,000 years, we've just begun. And I want you to think about this. I know it's a straight and narrow path, and few there be that find it, but there will be countless numbers of saints in heaven. And those countless numbers of saints, as they gather around the throne of God and praise the Lord forever. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that sea of people who trusted Christ? That's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace. When we're bowing before his throne, when we're worshiping his holy name forever, and you look out at all those glorified saints, and you know it's because of the riches of his grace. None of us deserve it. We're just dead. That word dead is necros. It's a corpse. We're a corpse. Without Christ. But with Christ we have life. So today while we get ready for an invitation, I want to ask you, are you still dead in your trespasses and sins? Or have you been made alive by the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 6 tells us if we're saved and we get baptized, it pictures something that happens, that we were dead in trespasses and sins, but when we get saved, we're dead to sin. That it has no power over us anymore. We're separated from sin. This morning, have you been saved? Have you been born again? Do you know for sure you have eternal life? Friend, if you don't know Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sins, and there's one hope for you. It's Jesus Christ, and he loves you. The exceeding riches of his grace are available to you today if you would repent and believe. If you've been made alive by Jesus Christ, are you living for him? You can't be obedient to Jesus outside of his church. You believe, you're baptized, you serve him in the church. So this morning, as we stand together, I want to invite you to come. If you need to trust Christ, your Savior, if you need to be baptized, become a part of this church, if you need to make any other decision for Christ today, consider the exceeding riches of his grace that are available to you. And receive them by faith today while we sing.